The Tigers won last night, and we played the walk-off walk a few times already this morning, but John, the implication here is what? They are back on top in the American League. They made their statement, and that statement is?
They're a good team. They are a good team. Like, we all know that the flaws. There's a lot of teams that have flaws. Every team has flaws. But they had a slump where pitching wasn't there in both starters and relievers. Even Scooble didn't have his best stuff for two starts. The bats vanished. Some of them have continued to vanish and may never come back, but enough of them have. And now you get a night like last night where we said it. Hey, if Scooble, you got to be the guy that gets us through right now seven innings, and then it's Finnegan and it's Vest. And that was the formula for last night. Don't allow him to run. Don't allow him to score. If it's a one-run victory, then so be it.
We had a texter refer to it as the July cry. You know, as everybody freaked out, they lost 12 of 13. We had real phone calls and texts, people saying they're going to lose this division. Then the deadline rolls around, and we weren't happy about it. Wanted to see more moves. Kind of a buzzkill for a team that had been playing well. Well, fast forward, they've won four straight series and just beat a team with a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
This is their first series win against a team with a winning record in the second half of the season. That feels like we're going to circle this moment, right? A walk-off, standing crowd, bases loaded, rain falling, very picturesque, and it's a series win for the Tigers, gives them separation for a first-round bye. This is one of those moments you circle, and we want to know if they're all the way back to you. For wherever you drop them to in your mind mentally 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, are they all the way back to where they were before the skid, before the deadline? Where you go, hey, you know what? This team's as good as anybody in the American League. Nothing's promised. They're not guaranteed to beat anybody. No. You can still not be happy with the deadline, but do you feel like they're all the way back to that preeminent top spot in the American League? 248-539-9797. And I think you have to say yes.
I say yes. I've come to the conclusion that was just a horrific slump. And the way this team structured and when they have success with matchups and the way AJ does things, when a lot of things aren't clicking, it looks extremely ugly. And that's what happened. I think, the Mariners came in here and kicked their butt. They went to the All-Star break. Some players had distractions they've never had before, maybe. And
they ran into a red-hot Toronto team out of the break.
Yeah, and every team slumps. It was just a very bad slump. And they've taken what was got down to a 5.5 game lead to 9.5, and it's actually 9 now with the Royals. The Royals have jumped the Guardians. It's like, to me, the only reason to just have any concern, I don't think this is going to happen, but they do play the Royals 6 of the next 10 games. If the Royals, won 5 out of 6, then maybe you're starting to question again, but I don't see that happening because this team's playing good again. They got Carpenter back. They had to survive an Olsen injury. Like, I think we overlooked the Carpenter thing. We did not give enough attention to that.
At the same time, if you wanted to look for things that still concern you, they exist. They're far from a perfect baseball team. 0-8 with runners in scoring position last night.
Yeah.
I think that's
it. Just keeps going back to what I've been saying like all year. I think they can get to the ALCS, but last year, ultimately, the hitting just got pinched, and I think they're better this year.
Well, and the run differential. Right now, they are second best in the American League in terms of run differential.
Corey in Birmingham. I got to keep it under 60 seconds so we can get to AJ Hinch. What's up?
Okay. Hey, guys. Great show. Love you guys. My issue with the Tigers is when there's high-end pitching, they don't do well. Just like last night, God forbid they get to the playoffs and Scooble loses the first game. It's over. They can beat anybody in the American League. It's the National League that I'm concerned with if they make it to the World Series. That's my concern.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they need Scooble to win. Scooble starts.
All the Scooble starts.
Yeah.
And you need the Jack from Monday night to be the Jack for the postseason.
Yeah. And you're going to need Casey Mize to be his best version as well.
And it can't just be Vest and Finnegan, although those two have created a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the update. We'll get to AJ Hinch next. All right, AJ, you got bases loaded. You got the crowd on their feet. You got the rain falling. What an environment last night. Are you still buzzing?
Pretty awesome, wasn't it? I mean, and the right guy at the plate who's going to make you throw a strike. So that was pretty awesome. Ending to a really good game. Those are two beasts on the mound. Our guy was a little bit better, and we came up big with some good swing decisions at the end to get the win.
is Gleyber Torres the guy that if you had a choice and you were picking one of your guys, and it's probably tough to do that, but in that situation, you mentioned it, right? He's going to make you throw a strike. Is he the guy that you feel most comfortable in that situation?
I think so, yes, because he's going to make you throw a strike, and he's not going to try to do too much. I think one little hidden part of last night was, Jermai Jones not trying to play hero, Gleyber not trying to be these just dramatic kind of walk-off homer and these like scripts that get written in your head sometimes. Gleyber, of all of our guys, not going to overswing, generally not going to swing outside the zone, and he knows a single wins it there. Just happens to be he didn't throw him a strike to single, so he ended up walking. So that to me is like the balance that Gleyber brings to this lineup.
It's a good point too, because he's sitting on 500 RBIs. It would have been really tempting to, hey, I'm going to go be, but he did exactly what he needed to do. Hey, AJ, as we chronicle this team, right, the ups and the downs, it looks like you guys have put that ugly stretch behind you. When you look back, what was the biggest key to getting out of that funk you guys were in?
Yeah, just stay in the course. I mean, I know it's really hard in our sport to like not ride, the momentum either way when you're playing. But when I look around the league, Milwaukee, who's been the hottest team in baseball, gets swept by the Cubs yesterday. The Yankees hit 9 homers after kind of being told they can't hit. The Padres were in first place riding high, get swept by the Dodgers. They're back in second place. It's just a game that requires the ability to run the marathon. And so all that being said, I'm really proud that our guys just stayed the course. It helps when Riley Green warms up and Carp, is a huge impact. And Wessel Perez took over one game. And then like we just talked about Gleyber. Colt Keith has had an exceptional August. Like, it's somebody different every day, but we stayed the course mentally to just play our schedule, play series. We've now won, 4 series in a row, which is kind of what we're built on. We're built to win series, and that's what it takes to win deep into the season is win series. And so we just never really strayed away from our process, which I know is not always the emotional thing to say or necessarily even the fun thing to say, but it's the reality of 162. And we still have a lot more to go. Like, we have not qualified for the playoffs. We have not won our division. We have not done enough yet. So we'll get back at it today with the same mentality.
When you see Jack Flaherty go out there and pitch the way that he did, and he's pitched really good against good teams, and then fair or unfair, we expect every time Scooble gets out there, it's a Scooble start, it's a Scooble win. As you get towards the end of August and September, how important is it for especially the veteran guys to be pitching their best and your veteran hitters to be getting their A game as you approach the postseason?
Yeah, it's important, but let me give you a little nugget. Like, we lost a couple Scooble starts down the stretch when we were 31-11 last September. So, like, it's not always one guy, or it's not always, like, we have to win that game. We need to win as many games as we can, but we need our players to play well and be ready. But I don't know which player is going to be the most important tonight. So when you're talking about Jack, like, spin and strikes, he's really good. And he can go through any lineup. As you said, he pitches pretty well against good teams. But it's about spin and it's about strikes with him. With Tarik, obviously, he has no room for error at people who watch him because he's so dominant and so good. I mean, I'm thinking back of, like, the time that I've been here. How many times I've been asked about a 7-inning, 3-run start like I was 6 days ago and being asked, like, is everything okay with Scooble? Like, think about that. 7-inning, 3 runs. And I'm getting asked about, like, is he doing all right? Is he frustrated? And you're like, wow, what a different standard he pitches under. So yes, in the big picture, we need our best guys and our veteran guys but we also need our role players to be good. We also need our bullpen to pitch like we did last night. Will Vest was exceptional with the 2 innings and the emotional, ride at the back end of the game. So, I just don't try to pin it on one thing or another. We got to be good in every area to get where we want to get to and play as deep as we want to play.
Troy Melton, we've seen him come out of the bullpen. We've seen him be a starter. And other than that first start, like, it's been really fun to watch him grow and be really good on the mound. What is the plan for his young arm, as much as you could share with us, in terms of innings, and how do you get him to the postseason so he's still productive for you?
Exactly. I mean, he's a weapon, you know, in any role. And we're trying to ride that fine line of a young pitcher who's piled up a lot of innings, who we want to be a factor down the stretch and into October. And we don't really know the role. You know, I pitched him the other day. We were up 5 or 6. I got him up to help Jack. Jack got through his outing. I ended up pitching Melton in a one-inning stint because I just don't want it to be 5 and 6 days before, you know, without him pitching. And in Chicago, I didn't expect him to go 5. He goes 5. Now that requires some rest. So it's a balancing act. You know, he's up and available today. He will factor in pretty heavily this weekend if he doesn't pitch today. But I just see him in this hybrid role down the stretch where maybe 1 inning, maybe 2, 3 innings, maybe 5 innings might start. Like we have a pitcher who can emotionally handle the unknown, and we're going to use it so that we can deploy his innings at the right time. I will have to pitch him occasionally, like the other day in a sort of a non-leverage, not important, but it was 10-0, you know, when he comes in. That's just part of keeping him fresh and, you know, hopefully deploy him however we can when it matters the most. Like there could be a game here in the next couple of days where starter goes 6 and I just hand it to Melton and he goes 7, 8, 9. Even with Finnegan and Vest up, like that's a pretty valuable day where the next day we'll have our whole bullpen fresh. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'm always trying to find ways to get Troy in the game because of the stuff he's showing.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch this morning, I don't want to gloss over something you said earlier. Colt Keith's having a hell of a month of August, leading the team in OPS. And here's a guy here leading off in a lot of these games. Just his development, what have you seen?
Yeah, I see a good player, you know, a good hitter and someone who's still learning to grow and probably teaching us all a lesson to be a little patient, you know, with guys that come up. And I love how he's taken some adjustments into the box and he's handling the leadoff spot well because he controls his zone. He will walk. He's really good against right-handed pitching. And he's like the guy that's a hitter first. And, you know, when I get asked about his power, I always cringe a little bit because I'm like, this guy's a hitter first. The power will come. And then he pops one the other day for a homer. If you're a homer first and not a good hitter, you probably can't hit in the leadoff spot. It doesn't help our balance. It's all or nothing, which is not something that he's ever been in the minor leagues or the big leagues. So he's just settling in around it. His game planning is getting better. His execution's getting better. His reaction to success failure is getting better. You know, he's not even, what is it, 700 at-bats into his career, 800 at-bats into his career. That's a sign of good things to come for a developing young hitter.
I don't know when the right time to ask you this question is, and we may even ask you it again in the coming weeks, but the top two seeds, because last week or last time we talked to you, we really felt like there was a sense of urgency that you had in what you were telling us. How much of is a focus or discussion on getting one of those top two seeds, and how important is that to you guys?
That's important. I mean, because you're just in a better position to set up your pitching and in a better position to get healthy and you know, you don't want the stress of that you don't need, right? Like everybody wonders like, hey, do you want to play the 3 games? Like not if we're losing, you know, you don't want to lose a game to a good pitcher. And everybody has good players. So, you know, listen, I think you try to win as many games and you keep that mentality. If you win as many as you can and you need it to be more than the others. And I don't know how much to stress it quite yet because like that finish line is still a month away and it's 30 plus games. And as we've seen in the previous 30, a lot can happen in those games. So it's not a failure if it doesn't happen. It isn't necessarily like the end all be all sell out until, you know, the end and use your pitching so aggressively that you screw up the, you know, a series that could be in October. But we're aware where we're at and we want to win it. We want to be the best team in the league. You want to be the best team in the league. You got to try to win every game. And if you end up in the 1 or 2 seed, you host a game and get a little bit of a break, that'll be told over the next 30 days.
Rob Manfred on Sunday Night Baseball brought up this idea of if we expand, we could reimagine some of these divisions. You don't really have a pretty thoughtful perspective on the league as a whole. What would you think if they started to rearrange these divisions?
I think it'd be good for everybody from a travel standpoint. You know, I know it's hard because like those of us that are in it every day, you know, talk about the travel and the grind and the, you know, just think of it next week. So we're in the middle of a playoff race. We are going to play on Sunday against Kansas City, emotional series against the Royals, hop on a plane, fly to Sacramento, of all places, play three night games, and then we got to come back to Kansas City the next day. And we have an off day, but it's your body clock and everything changes, and then we play the Royals again. So these type of things that we can ease on the schedule, or we can create some regional rivalries and ease some of the burden of the schedule, probably good. You know, I also wonder about, you know, division winners. Do we create more divisions and create those heated rivalries that benefit you in the playoff stretch? So I'm all for tweaking things. You know, I am a traditionalist in my own right, but like, I'm not sure that we've have the perfect setup for the 30 teams. We go to 32 teams, and maybe there's one on the east, maybe there's one on the west, and you can create some regional activity. I think that's probably a good thing.
Who should be in the Tigers division?
Oof, that's a good question. You know, I mean, obviously the Chicago teams, the Cleveland, I think Toronto is a terrific rivalry with Rinser right next door to us. And, you know, I think those are probably the teams that first come to mind from a regional perspective, but they call Pittsburgh our natural rival, which I still have not understood, you know, why we play their home and home against them every year. And especially since they got Paul Skeens, I don't really need to be their natural rival.
Yeah, we're right there with you.
He's Tiger manager AJ Hinch. We appreciate your time as always.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.
It's 97.1.
Yeah, we're at Comerica Park, and you know what I appreciate, Scott? I appreciate winning baseball games.
Do you?
And don't care how you win them. Seasons are long. Games are won and lost in a variety of different ways. You sometimes look great. Sometimes you don't. But sometimes you even win those games when you don't look great. I love that things don't have to go perfect for a team to win a game. And I think that's a sign of a good team. Others, that makes them panic. But I guess over the course of 162, you know, it feels like it's a true measurement, right? You know how good or bad you are at the end of a regular season because you play so many damn games. And you're going to get unlucky sometimes and lose a game here or there. You're going to get very lucky and win a game here or there. But over 162, usually the cream rises to the top. And the Tigers, they're currently in a rising position. The arrow is pointed up, which is a relief because – remember that stretch where the Yankees got, like, shut out three times in a row?
Yeah.
Last night they hit 9 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Houston has scored 5 runs all in one game Saturday in the last 5 games, shut out Friday.
They were shut out on Friday.
They won in extra innings.
Yeah, on Saturday.
They scored in the 12th, and then they got shut out by Baltimore Sunday, shut out by the Tigers Monday, shut out by the Tigers Tuesday. Clearly, they are now in a slump. But last night had a playoff. That felt like a playoff game, didn't it?
It did, a little bit. I mean, we know who the opponent is, and you had this amazing starting pitching matchup with Hunter Brown, the local kid, going against Tarik Skubal, who's obviously the local hero, and it was everything you thought it was going to be. I mean, it was tight. It was – nobody was giving up much. The Tigers had more traffic than the Astros did, and they just unfortunately would line into a double play or ground into a double play or whatever the case was. It just snatched out of their jaws there, you know, getting caught stealing, and things happen. I like them being aggressive like that. It was a perfect pitch to throw a runner out on when Perez got gunned down at second base. But, you know, in the end, it comes down to some craziness. There was a play at the plate, and, I mean, by a hair's breadth, they were able to get him out. Fortunately, they ruled him out with a call on the field. I do think there was evidence that showed that, I mean, you could kind of see the oven mitt got turned up a little bit, so it looked like he did hit it. But if it were called safe at the plate, I don't think that gets overturned. Even though they said confirmed, I don't buy it. Hey, is that the Birchie kid?
Birchie kid is walking past our...
Why is he big timing us?
I don't know. He's just strolling past. Like he
why
doesn't...
are you big timing us?
Here he is.
the
Birchie kid.
I understand
making
that.
His way over to the stadium and into the clubhouse for a pregame A little pregame. What's up, my man? Hey, we got to throw the mic on him there. Reporter that covers this team. Nice.
What's up, fellas?
Nice cameo. How
good
are you?
Good to see you. I'm great. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing
all right? Real good.
Word.
The word? good baseball is being played again.
Great baseball is being played. Last night was a fantastic game. I mean, just a pitcher's duel between two of the best arms in the game. And then just a dramatic ending. And, you know, Gleyber Torres, who obviously has been going through a bit of a slump since the All-Star break, seems to be coming back around. And is there anyone else you'd want up in that spot? Bases loaded, work a walk, get a good pitch to hit, then Gleyber Torres. And obviously he comes through.
That is the one message that is being echoed by everybody, and it should be, right? Yeah. Watching the game last night, and Benetti says it. I think even Petrie said it. I'm sure that Dan Dickerson said it on the radio.
Yeah.
I said it to myself watching the game, like, well, thank God Gleyber Torres is up. I bet you Doug said it. You're saying it. A.J. Hinch says it again this morning. Everybody's saying the same thing. Thank God it was Gleyber Torres. And then you go back and realize Gleyber Torres, the guy who was hitting 200, the guy whose OPS is under 6 right now for the last month. I mean, yes, that guy, because that guy was the all-star in the first half. He's the guy that I have the most confidence in bouncing back and becoming what they were in the first half. Mm-hmm. Not so much Baez. Not so much McKinstry, but Gleyber Torres, yes.
Yeah, no doubt. And Skubal said it last night in the clubhouse. The very first thing he said in his post-game press conference was he's the perfect guy up in that situation just because he has such a command of the strike zone. And that's what fueled his great first half. He wasn't just an all-star. He was this team's most consistent and most polished hitter for pretty much the first 3.5 months of the season. And he's been their tone setter and table setter all season long. So to get him back going would be huge entering the final 6 weeks of this season.
So, Bertie, you're making your way to the clubhouse. We won't keep it for long because I know you got work to do.
No, I'm not going to big time the boys. Come on.
in the middle of the slump,
yeah.
Was there any indication that they knew they would be okay? Did anybody say anything, or did they think everybody was overreacting? What was your sense in that clubhouse?
I think they were trusting their track records from the first half and trusting the fact that Skubal pitches every 5 days, so it could only ever get so bad. And I still think there's faith in that clubhouse that at some point this season, either Parker Meadows or Matt Vierling makes an impact on this team. And I think that has to happen for these guys to get to where they want to go. Now, it might not happen until September now, or maybe even October, but I still believe that at some point they still believe that Meadows will leave his fingerprints on this season one way or another, and that's reason for belief too entering this stretch run.
Is that something you expect to hear about this morning when you go to clubhouse? Do you think AJ's going to give an update on Parker Meadows?
I don't know if we'll get one today. It does sound like, you know, he's entering a rehab assignment. We'll see him at some point in September. But I think back to last season when everyone highlighted the Tigers' record when Parker Meadows played, and it feels like Kerry Carpenter has kind of become that guy this year. Yeah. Whenever he plays, they seem to win games. And I just think the way that Meadows can impact the game in all three ways, offense, defense, base running, still leaves room for him to make an impact this year.
I think the only difference is that Meadows hasn't been playing.
Right.
Whereas last year he was playing, wasn't playing well, sent him down to the minors, played well, got brought back up, played well, got hurt. came back a week later and then played well the rest of the way. This time, it's kind of a long absence for him. Yeah. I really hope that he comes back healthy and ready to roll.
So do I. And, you know, when he came back last year after his second injury stint, he was hitting under 200. Good. And then over the final month and a half, 2 months, hit like near 300 OPS.
308 or something.
900. Yeah. But how about Kyle Finnegan, man? I know he was an unheralded acquisition at the deadline, but he's been, since the deadline, the best reliever moved on July 31st, and there was a lot of buzz and excitement attached to other names, but so far Finnegan has been the best one to join a new team. And, you know, it's cool. He's got some Detroit ties that not a lot of people know about. He was raised mostly in Houston, but he was born here back in 1991 in Rochester Hills, and his father pitched for the Tigers in spring training in 1995 during the strike season when they had replacement players step in. And Willie Finnegan, who was drafted by the Cardinals back in like 1983, spent 3 years in the minors, was one of those guys to get an invite. And he still has his Tigers jersey that he wore in spring training back in 1995. So when Kyle was dealt here, he texted him Like, you're picking up where I left off 31 years later. So a great story, but more importantly, a great addition to this bullpen. Eight appearances and yet to allow a run.
You know what I smell?
Yeah. What's that? We're cutting a little onions.
I smell a column. Yeah,
there's one already brewing up there.
Smell somebody getting ready to write is what I smell. And you got to get it before the other guys do.
Of course, of course.
Head into that clubhouse and break some news for us, okay?
I'll do my best.
All right, cool.
If I do, you guys will be the first ones to know about it. I'll come right back out here and let everyone know.
You're already breaking hearts, buddy.
TV's Will Birchfield and, of course, our reporter and web reporter here on 97.1 The Ticket. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate you, fellas. The Birchie's got time for the boys.
I love the guy. That's the Birchie kid from down here at Comerica Park. Let's get to it. Last night's game, some stuff went down. We had talk about a pitcher's duel, an elite pitcher's duel, playoff feel, weird way to win a game. And something happened last night, but I'm like, what was that? We'll get to that today at 10:16 here on Carson Anderson from Comerica Park on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, is your garage door making some funny noises, or maybe it's just not running as properly as it should? Maybe the light's out. Whatever the case is, you need some repairs, you got some damage done, call the right folks to fix the problem. It's Precision Garage Door Service. They're amazing. I've used them in the past when I've had issues with my garage door. They came right out, diagnosed the problem, then they fixed it right there in the spot because they got all the equipment they need right there in their trucks. These are expert technicians in the field. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can schedule an appointment online at your convenience at precisiondoormi.com. That's precisiondoormi.com.
All right. This is much more fun, David, than a couple of weeks ago. Rico, Kenny. I know garbage cans is something we do associate with the Astros from their cheating days, but the Tigers hit them with one the last three games. Just a complete ass kicking as they lit a garbage can on fire and hit the Astros in the cranium with it. So, Rico, we're going to have some fun. So this was now, what, 3 weeks ago? They had lost the 12 of 13. You had asked the panic question. And I had said, look, I'm going to wait the next 10 games. They play a bunch of garbage. They played the White Sox and the Twins and the Angels. But this team is not garbage. But they did their job in the 10, going 7-3. We talked about go 6-4. Check. This series, it helps because their record against teams with a winning record, unless something's changed or I'm in outer space, was like 19-27. You swept the Astros. You did it impressively, comprehensively. Yeah, last night was a little weird, but whatever, you won. So here's the question. This is a redux if you're leaving the ballpark. Please be sober. We can't take drunk calls. So I'm glad you had fun, but we can't put you on the air lit.
Amen to that.
but call a friend. But here's the question. I want to know how your opinion is different from 3 weeks ago, good or bad. Meaning, 3 weeks ago, I said, look, I'm not panicked. I'm concerned. I still think they're a playoff team. I still think they'll win a division. But I never thought they were a World Series team, and I don't now. Fast forward the 3 weeks, Rico, I kind of find myself in the same spot. I think they're a really good ball club, and they're absolutely going to win this division. But in my heart, I don't feel that they're a World Series winning team. But I'd like to know where you and David, Kenny, the masses are at. I mean, we always talk about, yeah, well, they beat a bunch of garbage. No, you can't do that now. Not today. And three games doesn't make a season. And three games doesn't take you from the outhouse to the penthouse. But it does matter, right? Who you play matters. Yeah. And if we're going to sit here and roll our eyes at, oh, good, another win over the White Sox, let's pay some respect, but I want to ask the question. In actuality, how has your opinion changed, if at all? 248-539-9797. It's as wide open as it gets. Rico, to the main stage.
No, very impressive, Mike. Knocking off a first-place team, holding them to two runs the entire series. And by the time they scored the two runs today, the game was over. It was 7-0 already. So, yeah, I'm still at, I think it was DEFCON 2. I think they're a playoff team. I am concerned because I've seen what this team looks like when everything goes wrong. And it takes a while to get out of that tailspin. So I'm hoping you don't see anything like that, but I still don't see World Series contender because, Mike, as you know, throughout the playoff run, you're going to hit that streak where you may be, you know, down two games and you got to come back and get gritty. And, you know, can they come back and win games when their backs are against the wall and Scooble's not on the mound for the next two starts? That's what I need to know. So playoff team, yes. Concern, still yes.
Yeah, and it's okay to say, look, I mean, there's a departure between making the playoffs and winning a World Series. Can anyone do it? Of course. We've seen it. So on a technical level, yeah, I know. I'll save you the phone call if you're out there all with your ass chapped. Yes, they can win it. They can win it. But I'm asking you today, if I asked you to put $5,000 on it, I didn't think so. That's the point. I just think they're good. But I think they have flaws. I think they are limited. And look, in the regular season, they do a great job of, outside of that one weird stretch, they play pretty clean. Yeah. And they do the little stuff. You know, it's not them throwing two wild pitches to give up two runs to start a game. It's not them walking the bases loaded, walking the run in to lose a game. They generally play pretty clean. And they let you make mistakes. So I'd love to know where everybody's at with it, because I'm not stubborn about it. It's just nothing has materially changed to get me to believe that they are a World Series caliber team. And I've already said all year for me, I do think they're trumped up a bit by playing in a god-awful American League in a god-awful division. But they're doing what good teams are supposed to do. You beat those teams. Mm-hmm. And for these three games, Rico, you said it. They beat a division leader. They beat a team that's chasing them to try to get one of the top two seeds and get the first round bye. You tip your cap, but I can't materially change how I feel over three games. I mean, if you were hitting the, not you personally, Rico, if you were hitting the panic button 3 weeks ago, no, I do think you need to change where you're at. Yeah. But there are plenty of people who think this team is going to do it. Okay, well then, where are you at from 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. I mean, you may have your 1-2 punch with Scooble and Charlie Morton going into a series. To some, they may feel confident. You know, you're seeing the good Charlie Morton.
Yeah, I
it also
good,
helps
bad,
when you get
good, bad.
Well, it also helps when you start them off with six runs. So yeah.
Well, yeah, but again, I mean, I have a very bad relationship with Framber Valdez. I'll explain that later. It has nothing to... No, I've never met the man. I hate his guts. So this is the Framber Valdez that I have experience with. And I don't care. He frustrates me. But I'd love to hear from the people. David, Kenny, talk to me. You know, from 3 weeks ago where you were at, same, different, better. What does this series do for you? Because here's what this show doesn't do. We don't do referendum radio. I feel like the rest of the station, they're living and dying with every game. And that's just not how baseball works. That's an NFL mentality. But baseball, no. I try not to react to a week. Sure as hell not going to react to a series. And in the aggregate, you kind of form your opinions with the data. So I would love to know where everybody's at with it. Go ahead, fellas.
Yeah, I'm around the same. I enjoyed what they did in this series. Look, doing what you did to the Astros is great because they're a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs. They're winning their division. That right there was impressive. But what I don't have confidence in is still some of this lineup. Yesterday, 0-0 going into extras, and there were opportunities for this team to score. It's not like there weren't opportunities. There were opportunities where you, especially when McKinstry was on third with the leadoff triple and you do not get the man home. That's a lineup problem.
David, it's like the second Scooble start in a row where you had to sweat it out. He went out there and did his job and nobody else did until late in the game.
Correct. And that's another part of my thing here is, Rico, you said it. Charlie Morton, he looks great. But the fact that we would have to rely on Charlie Morton in the playoffs, is a problem for me because he may not come through in the playoffs. It just will be Scooble again and no one else. And that concerns me. And that's why I'm at number two, DEFCON 2. Really good team. Playoff, can't say World Series. Can't say it right now.
Yeah, and if you want to say World Series, say it with your chest. I don't care. I'm not telling you not to be excited about it. I just would love to know the reasons why. And if, and again, I would just say don't base it off three games. Be pumped up. They got it done. But I still think they're hyper-limited against good pitching. They just are. And that's what scares me. And I'll tell you this. You can get this Charlie Morton, or you can get the one who's going to get rocked and give up seven earned. You can get good Mize. You can get awful Mize. You can get great Flaherty. You can get god-awful Flaherty. There's not enough in the rotation for me to depend on it.
Yeah.
Not in the playoffs, but in the here and now? No. Look, you can't overlook the last 3 days. That was a hell of a reset for them. And I think it puts a cap on any lingering negativity where, I don't really like the way they're playing. Yeah, well, okay, now they're 10-3 their last 13, and losing 12 of 13 is a distant memory. They're up 8.5 in the division. All is good on the Western front. Yeah, Kenny, where are you at with it? Are you at the bottom of a daiquiri?
No, I'm not at the bottom of a daiquiri. I wish I was. But as a married man, let me tell you this.
Oh, Jesus. Guys been married for 10 minutes. Here you go. Lecture us all.
Let me tell you
as
something.
A husband.
Oh, well.
Give you some married wisdom, Mike.
Buy a suit to get married.
No, I'm at the same place I was before. I'm at a two. Basically, it's because you can't get, this is in the course of a long baseball season, you can't get two highs with the highs and you can't get two lows with the lows. I know that sounds like a cliche.
That sounds like a married man.
I was about to say, that sounds like deep philosophical, you know, married talk.
That's what I'm saying.
We're living in the upside down now, Rico. He's actually lecturing David behind the glass about marriage and relationships.
I thought you were saying he's actually making sense.
Yep, that too.
Yeah, but no, I don't think you can get too high or too low. There's serious problems. I agree with what David had to say about the holes in the lineup and the fact that we had Jamai Jones leading off today. I mean, I understand he had a nice ball game. That's good for him. But it's just you could have added a bat. I'm upset they didn't, but I don't think this team is that much different from last year's team in that if the bats go cold in the playoffs, if we have a Matt Vierling moment like we had last year where, Mike, you had the numbers, he was like, what, 3-for-21 or something like that?
3-for-1,000,000. It was bad. It might have been 3-for-34.
Sure, but it was that bad. That's the point, though, is we can see it get that bad the same way we can see it get that good the way it was earlier.
Yeah, and you know, Kenny, to your point, I mean, we talked about it Sunday Night Baseball. You had Matt Vierling leading off, or you have Jamai Jones. The problem for me, the whole team could look different if I had last September's Parker Meadows.
Yeah.
The guy who was leading off.
Yeah.
And look, that could still return. But in the here and now, no, I'm happy they calmed everything down. For a minute there, it looked like the stove was about to light the house on fire. They calmed it all down. Did they get the benefit of the scheduling? Of course they did. 10 games against that dreck. But the 3 against the Astros kind of validates that they're back. Is that fair?
Yeah, and just how they did it, Mike. You know, yesterday wasn't easy, but they found a way to win. It was a walk-off walk. But yeah, you held them scoreless. A first-place team. Like this wasn't the White Sox. This wasn't the Twins. This was good pitching that you faced, and you went out there and you beat them. So you should feel good. Like for me, I told you, my concern happened if they fell below 5 games. They flirted with that.
They did. They did.
It was with the Vierling home run walk-off, or else, they were going to drop to 4 games. But now they bounced back, and they don't look like they're pressing anymore. During that losing streak, man, everybody was trying to go up there and hit grand slams at every at-bat, whether it was anybody on base or not. Now they're playing more relaxed. Now we'll see what happens. World Series team, no. Playoff team, yes. Concerns, yes.
You know what's nice, too, is I believe, unless I'm insane, yeah, so here's what you have coming up. Now, again, this is more opportunity to you get a breather. You do, heading into Labor Day weekend. You're going to get the Royals for 3, you get the Athletics for 3, and you get the Royals again. That's not untenable. And then, Royals for 4. I apologize. So the bottom line is, you can keep this going and kind of ice the division out if you're going to play that way. You can give yourself that kind of lead. You know, you'd love to see a few more days off, different things. But, you know, ultimately, they play so many guys. I don't worry about the fatigue. It's a nice response. And I hope it calms everything down. The 7-3 against the bad, you might be able to knock it. Sweeping a good team, that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want to take series. They swept this team. And yes, last night, tough watch. But you'd rather get that win than, you know, wake up from your coma on the couch to go, wait, we walked in the winning run? You've got to be kidding me. 248-539-9797. We will get with the people. We've got a football today to get to. And 5 o'clock, I have one last Lions question after listening to the morning show. And I want to know if I have a read on something. No, because I want to make sure we are giving all people and all beliefs a chance to speak.
Okay.
We'll see if I'm right. We'll do it at 5. 97.1.
All right, John, if winning game one against the Astros was a statement to you, and if winning game two was a statement to me, what's a sweep? Because they broke out the brooms yesterday at Comerica Park and beat a good Astros team. Maybe played them at the right time, whatever, but they swept the Houston Astros. Gave up 2 runs in 3 games. And they'd scored 18 themselves. It was a complete annihilation. The doubt that crept in when the team lost 12-13. The doubt that was there at the trade deadline. The doubt that may still be there with people. A.J. Hinch addressed it after the game.
A.J., you said many times you don't ride the roller coaster of a season, but you know a ton of people do. All the people that wondered about this team coming into this series, you haven't played good competition, what can you do in the playoffs? Yeah. Do you think maybe you sent the message today against the first place?
I think we should just thank them for being passionate enough to care. You know, I mean, we're still going to run the race. We still have a lot of games left. We're still going to play our game. But I love the emotions that come with sports, and respect them for loving us. You know, I mean, I think, you know, methodically we are going to get through these series, and I think you've seen us put it together now for 4 series or 5 series in a row. And we get the off day, Kansas City comes, and we've got to reset and play a whole new group. So I don't fault people for caring or being super passionate. That's what the kind of city that we want. But don't forget to love on us a little bit when things are bad. That, you know, I think this team responds to the environment that we had this week. Day game baseball today, midweek. The Monday, Tuesday, school's about to be back in session, and Comerica was a legit home field advantage place to play. And that this team responds to that, so it's nice to see.
Rieger tried to bait him into going at the haters, but I thought AJ gave a pretty measured response there. Didn't fall for the trap and said he appreciates the passion. John, your thought?
I love what he had to say. And yes, we have passionate fans here in Detroit. And we have fans, as we are, that are going to ride the highs and lows of an entire season. And there's going to be a lot of those highs and lows over the course of 162 games. It's a long season. And if no one cared that they lost 12 of 13, if their phone lines were dead, like, that's concerning more than people being perceived as being more negative or being more concerned than others.
Like, having doubts is totally normal. And this team didn't run out at the deadline and plant their flag as prohibitive favorites. They're going to have to do it the hard way. They're plenty capable. It's going to be an uphill climb, but they're going to be in the mix. Hell, they're going to get a bye the way this is going. They're absolutely going to be in the mix. But if you have doubts, I think that's healthy. Like, the alternative is, like, you put your head in the sand and la, 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 everything's good. If you watch this team on a daily basis, you've seen some things, right? The bullpen had a 2+ month stretch where it was shaky. The offense can leave a bunch of runners on base. They don't have a bunch of proven boppers. They left a ton of dudes on base last year as their season came to an end in the ALDS, not the ALCS or the World Series. Doubts are part of this. You're not a bad fan. And I think AJ's right to point it out. Like, it's because you care. It's because you're passionate. It's because you're invested, and you'd be disappointed if they don't win. We want to talk to Tiger fans today. Do you still have doubts? Have they done enough to quiet those doubts? And what's the current expectation for this baseball team? 248-539-9797.
The current expectation for these teams. I've said this many times, especially over the last couple of days. No team is perfect. So are there going to be doubts? Sure, there's going to be doubts. I think some of those were exacerbated by the slump that they were in, some of them have been, for some fans, put to bed a little bit because of the way that they have rebounded. They're more like they were at the beginning of the season. They're winning series. They've won a series. They swept a series against the team that is probably going to be a playoff team. And so, the doubts are always going to be there. But what gives me confidence is, and I kind of had this feeling last night, coming home after picking up Jack from football, we were talking, and I started to get really excited about this team in the postseason. I started to get really excited because it is close. It is getting near. They are playing some of their best baseball right now. Now, it's not next week. It's not even next month.
Mm-hmm.
There's still time. But I am excited because they just played a good team and they played at that level. It was, and you go to Hunter Brown versus Tarek Skubal. That felt like a playoff matchup.
It did.
And then we looked at Valdez yesterday and we're like, okay, well, if we can hit him. And then in the first inning, they put up five runs.
Jumped him.
Right. And it's, okay, that's when I started to get really excited about the potential for this team. The potential is, yeah, they're going to be a postseason team. The concerns were they were going to be a first-round knockout, no matter when that first round was. Now, you kind of believe, okay, if they play up to the level of the Astros, they play at the level of Toronto or any of these other, Seattle, that they can win those series. They can be a World Series team.
I still don't expect them to win the World Series.
That's not what I said.
No, and I'm not putting your words in your mouth, but just taking a stab at this, like where I sit today, I never doubted that they were going to win the division, right? Even when they lost 12 of 13, I never doubted they'd lose this division. The deadline didn't inspire confidence that they would win the World Series. And to me, they're somewhere in between. They're among the American League contenders. We know the Yankees can flip a switch. They got a couple frontline lefties who, if they play the Tigers, you're not seeing Riley Green and Kerry Carpenter in the lineup. Doesn't mean you can't win. They did it yesterday against Valdez, but that would be a concern I'd have. We know Seattle's got a deep rotation, a good bullpen, and a lineup of some more proven bats. And Toronto was in here in the second half and did some damage against the Tigers and beat them straight up. That doesn't disqualify Detroit. We're not going to cancel the season. I think back to, we had Dan Campbell on last year when Aiden got hurt and he goes, we cancel the season.
We're still going to play.
We're still going to play the games. Tigers are still going to play the games. And I root like hell that Scott Harris is right and that Chris Fetter can fix a lot of these projects in the bullpen. Finnegan's the lockdown dude they added. That's the guy we all loved on deadline day. The question was, should they have done more besides Finnegan? And maybe you're feeling like they did enough right now. I don't think we're going to know that until we see them in a 7-game series against the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Astros, the Mariners, or a 7-game series against the Dodgers or the Phillies. Then we'll know if they did enough.
So did you think that they were the World Series favorite? Did you think they would win it all before the slump?
Like it was possible? Sure.
Do you feel the same way you felt before the slump?
Yeah.
I do too. They've completely neutralized that slump. That's all it was. We've kind of been talking this out throughout the week here. They lost 11 of 12. Now they've won 9 of 11. They're 23 over 500. Their peak over 500 this year was 25 games. It was 59 and 34. They're basically back to being what we thought they were. And they've shown that over a course of more than a calendar year now. That's why it was so head-scratching. That slump was a bad, bad slump. I know every team's had down moments this year, but they played horrific baseball in that slump. Everything went wrong.
So where they sit today, they're a playoff team. Come on. I mean, they're up 10 games now in the American League Central. Imagine they take two or three against the Royals. Maybe John will even jump on board declaring it over.
Well, we're going to be calling for apologies on Monday if they win at least two or three for Jim Costa.
But I thought they were cursed.
Yeah.
But then the real question all along has not been, will they win this division? It's what do you do about it once you get in? What do you do about it once you're in the postseason?
Right.
And for the people who are highlighting the Scott Harris deadline, I've seen the number, like the bullpen ERA, I think is like 5 or 6 in baseball since August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful. FIP is taking out like randomness of defense. Their bullpen is 25th in FIP since the trade deadline. So water still has to find its level in this bullpen is all I would caution people.
But AJ and Chris Fetter are also learning more about these arms and this bullpen. And I said it yesterday. This is from top to bottom. They don't have that superstar. And we talked about that when it was, who are you going to put your $100 on? They do have a great advantage. And I think an advantage over almost any team that they're going to play, that's AJ Hinch. And it is Chris Fetter. It's his staff. Mm-hmm. It's everything that they put together. AJ Hinch is the one that is going to take the bullets when a decision doesn't work out. He's also the one that we talk about as the wizard, but it's him leaning on his staff. Ultimately, it's him making the decision. And things go good, he gets credit. Things go bad, he takes the bullets.
I'd put the Tigers in that puncher's chance category with another three or four teams in the wide open American League. I think that's fair. You guys could tell us if you have higher expectations than that, if you've seen enough, if this series quieted some of the doubts that you have. 248-539-9797. But I really like what AJ said, because I think too often people like to pit fans against each other and fan police, like, you didn't believe enough.
Yeah.
It's healthy to have a passionate conversation, to care enough and be invested enough that things concern you about your ball club. It doesn't mean you stopped being a fan, that you have to take the old English D off your hat. I don't like the fan policing. It's okay. What we do here is we have a discussion. And if you are someone who still sees the concerns, voice them. If you're someone who's seen enough, shout it from the mountaintop. You believe in your baseball team.
Yeah.
248-539-9797.
Ooh, the sun's out now. The
sun's out, yeah. Just saw Jared Goff, red zone rep from the six.
Sun's
look
out,
off one,
out.
Two, and hit his third option in the back of the end zone, Khalif Raymond, for a red zone touchdown for the Detroit Lions as red zone reps continue out here at Allen Park. Looks like they're breaking maybe into more special teams work.
I think we're going to get down to – it's got to be towards the end of practice. Do you think it's going to be a two-minute drill?
It could be. Could be. Those are fun. We will get to that. I've had fun doing those. So let's keep our eye open. In the meantime, let's go to Paul, who's next on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm glad you brought up the trade deadline stuff, because what Scott Harris did was pretty widely it was widely panned by fans, media, you know, as not anything significant. And listen, I don't know the exact specifics, but I would bet he's gotten more out of his trade deadline acquisitions than 95% of the other teams. He's got 5 wins from his starters. And I know you mentioned Charlie Morton, but listen, Paddock, take away his old team, you know, pretty much wrecking him twice. He has 2 outstanding starts that resulted in wins. So that's 5 wins from the starters, 1 tremendous 1 1/3 from Montero late in an important game to get a win last week. And then he's got 4 saves and probably 2 other excellent appearances from Finnegan. And we've played since the break, and when these guys were available, you know, maybe 18 games. Who can say that that is not a tremendous return on, A, what you gave up, but more importantly, just simply a return that you needed to turn the team around?
So, I mentioned at the beginning of this, I felt like the reaction fell between disappointed and hostile outrage. I don't know that there was anybody saying publicly, any of the reporters. I actually went back and looked at some of the reporting done. I know Gator and I, for the record, said we were disappointed, but hadn't given up on the team and were willing to give this a shot, but we were disappointed. We wanted more. People hate when you overpay for anything in sports. If somebody's contract's too big or you had to give up your top prospect. If anything, right now, across the board, there's a lot of underpaying going on, and the team is far outperforming what the contracts are and what the price was to get some of these players that they acquired at the deadline, which is a very attractive way of doing business. You just hope that they eventually you got to pay the players money in contracts, but still, it is what it is. It's been a,
good return. This goes back to what I've preached all year and all the time about baseball. First off, most people don't follow other teams. I can't even say that I did. The difference is I'm willing to
actually judge the result rather than make a prediction before it's even started of doom and gloom. I mean, I'd rather see, right, this guy gets paid to run the baseball team. He has scouts and people that watch all these players. We didn't watch Charlie Morton, even though you could look at you know, his game log and see that he was like 6-1 or 7-1 in his last 8 or 9 starts before he came to Detroit. And there's just stuff that these guys know. Do they always work out? No, they don't. But we should at least wait before we condemn everything. And that's the biggest complaint I have. Let's wait to see what they do. If they suck, then say so. If they don't...
So, Paul, you're right. It's more fun to call your shot. People do it. I'm not mad at him for doing it. But I'm also not afraid to say, hey, we're wrong when we're wrong. Gator had a hostile approach towards one of the acquisitions, and I don't think the guys really had a huge return yet, but you kind of eye-rolled, and he's helped a little, and that's Paddock. I mean, Paddock... I think Paddock's job is to help them as a veteran starter. Not everybody's going to be a Cy Young candidate. He's got to start some games for them and help fill the void left by injured pitchers. And I mean, they've lost, what, 3 guys that they expected to be in their rotation in Cobb, Olson, and Joe.
Yeah, and look, I'm not thrilled with that, but then at the same time, they give up nothing. So it's a free flyer. And I think that was the approach that Scott Harris was going to take. Yes, they have prospects that could move for the right players, but they didn't want to do it for Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
If they're going to make a move, they're going to do it for somebody who's going to be here long term, not somebody who's going to be here for a few months, which was Suarez. That was the big name everybody wanted to have. So I get it's a philosophy. So if you agree with the philosophy, great. If you don't, you're allowed to disagree with it. But in the end, they were not willing to part with those guys. In their organization, the top 10 guys, just to get somebody for a couple months. I'm fine with it. Again, I thought the team was better the next day after the trade deadline than they were the day of the trade deadline because of all what they added.
But had they gotten lapped?
Yeah. That was the question. How much better did the other teams get? And right now, here it is. After that horrible stretch, the Tigers have had a really great stretch. They won 5 series in a row. They just swept the Astros, who, by the way, lead the American League West. So it's they're starting off this Kansas City series tomorrow on a good note.
Steven Madison Heights sent us the following ticket text. It's a good series sweep. I think we caught the Astros at a good time. Like Jim Leland used to say, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. Like what happened to us a few weeks ago. And we've mentioned that and talked about that a little bit here. And there's truth to it because – I mean, the Astros are right now cold, and the Tigers really took it to them the last few days. Suarez is batting 141 since the trade deadline for Seattle. That's from Chuck in a car. I don't care if he's the smartest in the room. If we fall short, I can't help but ask what if regarding the trade deadline. It's from Daniel in Berkeley. So I can't either. However, we don't know what trade he turned down. We don't know what trade he tried to make and couldn't pull off. We don't know what was rejected. And did they have a deal worked out for some player, a Duran or somebody like that?
Well, given what the Phillies gave up to get Duran, it didn't make a ton of sense for the Tigers to go out and do something like that. That was a lot to give up. You look at what Seattle gave up to get Suarez. It was a lot, and the Tigers didn't want to do that. Whether the comp was Max Anderson or not, they didn't want to do that. But they did make some moves that were moves that made sense, and they made them a little bit better.
Well,
Bednar move, which no. I kept waiting for. But you know what the name that threw everything off, Doug, that I think really got fans going the wrong direction?
What's that?
And when I said, well, you got to do it. We talked about it. It was Stan Kwan. Sorry, not Stan Kwan. Stephen Kwan.
Stan Kwan.
Stan Kwan was the Lions special teams coach.
What about Michelle Kwan?
She was a figure skater. So when Kwan's
what
name.
What about Dave Phipps? Should they have traded for Dave Phipps?
Maybe they should have. But when Kwan's name came up, it became a massive talking point. We did it on our show. Other shows did it. And I think it was unfair because at the same time, we're all going, where is this rumor coming from?
Yeah, and why would Cleveland
get rid of him? Would Cleveland get rid of Stephen Kwan? He's really, really good. And then it got into a discussion with us, and people were like, would you give up, one of your top prospects to get him? a little bit different because he's under control for a few years. But again, it's like, no, and neither did anybody else. And that's the big point. Nobody else did either.
Lions right now, two-minute drill, 43 seconds to go on their own 40. Goff looking for Amon-Ra on a down-and-out pattern. It is caught, clock running. He caught that ball, and he's coming up a little lame.
Well, I think he may have caught another ball, if you know what I'm saying.
Lions use a timeout with 38 seconds to go. They've got the ball to the Houston 45-yard line, trailing 23-20. That was a five-yard pickup. Clock stopped here. Two-minute drill, ones versus ones. Lions started this drive back inside their own 40. They got one first down on a pass to Amon-Ra. Now they have another five-yard pickup. 38 seconds to go with the clock stopped, and the Lions with one timeout remaining. Goff in a shotgun. He's got two receivers split to the right, one to the left. Takes the snap, back to pass. Looks off one receiver. Now over the middle, it's caught. It's Khalif Raymond for first down yardage. Clock running, 30 seconds to go. And the Lions will use another timeout, or we have an injured Lion. I don't like that. Is that Graham Glasgow?
Graham Glasgow gets up a little gimpy. He is walking.
Yes.
And looks like he's okay. We'll see if they're going to pull him out and give a rep to somebody else.
I think they are.
Which is what they're going to do. But he doesn't. He's walking.
Yep.
Slowly.
Gingerly.
Yes.
But they stop the clock here with 28 seconds to go. Lions down three, and that cost the Lions their last timeout. So, 28 seconds to go, and we got to look where the ball is marked. Hard to see from where we are.
45-yard line.
45-yard line? Okay. I thought that's where they were the previous snap. But first and 10.
Sorry, 38-yard line.
38-yard line. Here we go. First and 10 Lions from the Texans 38-yard line, already in field goal range for Jake Bates, trailing by three. Goff in a shotgun.
He's calling audible.
Well, it looks like he's changing the play. Has the snap. Back to pass. Looking. Fires over the middle. It's caught. Laporta at the 20. And the Lions are going to have to spike it. 19 seconds to go. They hurry to the line of scrimmage. And Goff takes the snap. Spikes it with 14 seconds to go here in this two-minute drill, trailing by three. So out of timeouts from about the 20. And that's a 25-yard line.
16-yard line, it says.
My apologies, 16-yard line. So, obviously well within Jake Bates' range. Two shots to the end zone here,
Scott?
Now
they say the 18.
Okay. Two shots to the end zone?
Yeah, I think you definitely
maybe a quick
shots.
Down and out?
Maybe.
And then two shots to the end zone?
They've been working the sidelines really well, and they can do that with their tight ends, or they can do that with St. Brown who catches everything. But they've got J-Mo wide left. St. Brown's in the slot on the same side.
Now they motion Amon-Ra from left to right.
Are they going to go with J-Mo over here?
Goff shotgun, back to pass, looking left. Going to fire it, and he's going to throw that one out of bounds to stop the clock with 8 seconds to go.
Well, now it becomes one shot in the end zone. And then
field goal?
Well, will Dan Campbell go field goal, or will Dan Campbell go for it?
They're on the 18-yard line. I suspect he'll go field goal. But got to be quick, though. Can't take a sack.
No,
can't look off to a second and third receiver.
I don't know if it matters. This is a third down play, but
probably irrelevant given that there's 8 seconds left.
I think you're probably right. Well, we saw them last week. They ran a play, I think with 4 seconds. They ran a play, a quick out.
Yep.
And got it.
All right, so here we go. Lions break the huddle, sending three receivers to the right, one to the left. That's J-Mo to the left. Goff from a shotgun, back to pass. Looking, he's going to fire. It's to J-Mo, jump ball, corner of the end zone. A lot of contact.
Was a lot of
contact. No flag. Clock stops with 2 seconds to go. It's incomplete. And the Lions are going to have to kick a field goal. And I'm going to have to do a live read. On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day. It's a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your favorite football futures. Let me know if the field goal's good, would you? So take a flyer in the MVP race. I've talked about Jared Goff, 35-1. Jahmyr Gibbs, running backs usually don't win, but he's 125-1. Look for special deals on those days on FanDuel's Futures Day, August 26th. You can bet on your champion, NFL, college, whatever. Mark your calendars. It's your day for your hunches, your takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now, because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 over. Field goals good. Must be 21 over and present in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.